Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, The Low Post. It's the number one NBA podcast for a reason. Top executives, coaches, players, and the best analysis in the game. Be sure to check it out. You can follow The Low Post now as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcast. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have guests join us. And this week, joining us from the PCL, the Professional Collegiate League, we have two representatives from that league. One, old friend of the program, former NBA star David West, and also Andre Gudger, joining us to talk about a few things going on with the league. Fellas, first thing is, we've talked about the PCL before, but if one of you could just lay it out for people who had not heard that, what is the PCL?
Okay. The PCL is the Professional Collegiate League, the space where we are wanting to compensate athletes, starting with basketball, for their labor and for their work on the basketball court. Short and sweet.
Right. And so this league, and I think a big part of it is an attachment to historically black colleges, which I think is one of the more, you know, things that jumps off the page when people talk about this, is the attachment that we have to historically black colleges. And an important note here, because I had wondered about this and talked to Ricky Vellante as this was going on, and he called me last week and said, we got ourselves a television deal, right? So what's going on with the TV deal?
Yeah, the television deal is a partnership with the PCL and Next Level Sports and Entertainment. And it's a big deal. It's not just television deal, it's a big deal. It's a marketing deal. It's a broadcast deal. It's a streaming deal. And, we all in because this is a model that we believe in.
And so people understand this. This is college athletes who will be playing and being compensated. And there is a television deal that has been worked out to finance this, to put us into place. So basically, the thing that everybody says is impossible, right? Because that's the big thing in Division I athletics always is, well, there is not money in order to pay guys. That's the reason why we're not paying them, except they always seem to find ways to get more money, and then they can never figure out how exactly it is to pay people. So for you guys, how difficult was this to pull off, given how difficult people make it out to be to pay players?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll start where the biggest thing was finding the right partnership, finding the right people. Bomani, as you know, we've been on this journey for quite a bit. But Next Level is a group that they have the reach, and then having the digital base, meaning they can reach sort of the current demographic of folks and how people consume sports. It's not like when I was a kid where people sat down on Saturdays and watched, you know, whatever, the television, Channel 4, whatever it was, and watched games. Young people now are consuming games through all the different media platforms, and NXT really does that for us. They've got great, tremendous reach. And then ultimately, it's a way for us to align with people that are similar to us, where we believe that the athletes come first, that the athletes deserve to be compensated, and that when we put the athletes' rights on Front Street and make them sort of the centerpiece of this model, you know, things will fall into place. And we're just thankful that as we move ahead, things have begun to work themselves out and fall into place.
Yeah, Bomani, look, David is exactly right. He's spot on. And what I want to add to that is there's always been money to pay these players, okay? Like, the NCAA has neglected to pay the players. And what attracted me to the PCL and being their broadcast partner was the first time I've seen business acumen at this level that I thought would be a pathway to compensating these players and not just having them play. Make no mistake about it, these higher education institutions are in the business of educating these young men, these young black men in particular. And they're not, and they should never have been in the business of running a for-profit business in sports, but they have. And they found a very creative way to control a for-profit business within a not-for-profit business and neglect to pay the guys. There is nobody believes, the narrative is out there now, that these guys shouldn't get paid. It's their time, and they should. And my background in business is to make the impossible possible. Next Level, being a broadcast partner, is bringing more than just a television deal. We're going to bring our sports science, our sports technology, our science and technology, and we're going to integrate it and embed it in this platform. And we're going to make this league the first-class league it deserves to be. And we're going to pay the players as they deserve to be paid. In our inaugural season, we're going to celebrate the success of finally getting it done.
Well, Andre, you talk about your background being making the impossible possible. Could you tell people a little bit more about what that background is?
My former company, not the company that I'm currently running, but my former company have done everything from the creation of what short messaging is or what texting is today, to building the first turn-by-turn application for Verizon, which is BB Navigator. They built the first location-based services application where when little Johnny goes past 3NM to 4th and L, you get a text message. It was one of the first geofencing apps out there. And and there's a whole host of other things that we've done in our past. We were at the forefront of cybersecurity before it was popular to say cybersecurity. We were the company that trained the military on all 5 services on becoming the next generation of cyber warriors. So we're really good at software. We're really good about innovation. And what we're doing now, I mean, we have breakthrough technology where we're looking at chassis delivery systems for COVID-19 across to artificial intelligence and machine learning and robotic arms and space systems. I mean, so we take that integrated technology and we've created the platform called FastStats, which PCL will get. And I'm going to deliver that platform to the league for pretty much free. And it will be a statistics and sports science platform that we can use to track and monitor players and track their statistics, because in the inaugural season, they should deserve to be recognized. And one way to recognize people through their statistics and how well they're doing.
So what attracted you to this? Because this, what a basketball league seems to be a little bit different than what you had been doing before.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a natural follow-on to what I've been doing before. What attracted me was the first time, and I'm unapologetic about it, this is about young Black men and women deserving equal chance and equal footing. And under no circumstance do I want them not to be compensated and to be used for their talents and not being recognized for their talents. And so for me, the days of shut up and dribble are over. And we're not going to just be people participating in the content. We're going to be content owners. We're going to be content creators. And we're going to essentially take it to the next level. And that's what this is all about. We're going to be unapologetic about it. We'll be deliberate and on purpose.
Now, David, I want to ask you, like, what was the process like for you? Like, coming off the court, going into this, and some of the talks that you had with different people about trying to get this idea off the ground? Because I'll admit, when you guys first started, I was like, I'm behind you, but I got no idea how in the world you're going to be able to make this work. So for you, the last couple of years, what was this process like for you getting involved and seeing the business end of these things?
You know, obviously a learning experience, getting the firsthand taste of, you know, a lot of no's and a lot of, well, it sounds like a good idea, but it may not be feasible. Getting the sense that we knew what we were doing was the right thing to do. And that's all I kept reminding myself, like, this is the right thing to do. Working toward making sure that athletes are fairly compensated, particularly as we've all seen these television contracts balloon. We've seen, you know, these schools invest in $30, $40, $50 million locker rooms and private planes and coaches' salaries and all of these things that have come to college sports, but seem to escape the players, right? The players and their families are the folks that seem to escape the real tangible benefits. And so I was looking at all of that. Obviously, you know, getting introduced to Ricky and the group, you know, really helped just ease my concerns about whether or not there were people who understood, you know, the business dynamics of it and how deliberate we had to be, how intentional we had to be, you know, to get to make this thing work. And so we've just, like I said, we've, you know, when COVID hit, it was actually a bit of a blessing because we could actually do more meetings, because it was like, okay, well, we can't get in front of you, but let's do a Zoom. So we were Zooming 3 or 4 times a day. We're just throwing the net out as wide as we possibly could. And then obviously, you know, when it comes to business, you know, looking for investors and looking for, you know, the right type of business partners, because we've had some investors, but they weren't the right type of people. And that's really important because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want to be in the business of taking advantage of athletes.
When you say they weren't the right kind of people, like what kinds of things were you hearing from them?
Well, ultimately, folks that wanted to put the business and put the money making above the athlete and sort of reshape what the NCAA is doing in a different way. And we weren't interested in that. We're totally about compensation first. So when we talk to athletes, our conversation is, you know, what we're going to compensate you first. It's not how we're going to figure out ways to take advantage of you or, you know, undermine you here or there or some other space. We weren't interested in that. And so we had some investors that felt like that. And we said, okay, the money may be there, but, you know, we're not aligned in terms of our ideals and our values. And that is very important to us.
Yeah. And I guess for you, Andre, that becomes interesting because, I mean, people get into things to make money, right? And that's the thing about capitalism that makes it extra tricky is I've always say, always be wary of the capitalist with a heart of gold because the capitalist part comes first. So for you, how do you balance that? Where, you know, there this is obviously I don't want to say profit maximizing organization, but you are wishing to get profit. So how do you balance that? Because you have a power if you wanted to do things involving players where they don't really have that much leverage. So how do you balance that on your end?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Look, we invest in things all the time. And that actually brings to mind and brings to question the 100-year anniversary of Greenwood. That was all about investment. That was all about Black Wall Street. And I see this as just that. And what better year than a 100-year anniversary to do that? This is centennial. And so we're going to invest in the league. We're going to invest in the players. And we know there's a long runway, right? We got to be prepared for the long haul. But this is the time for the new model. And I believe in the model. And I believe in the players, and I believe in their stories, which is more important than all of that. There's many times their stories don't get heard, and the community that they grew up with and from and come through are not exposed properly in the right way. And we want to change that. Their stories will be heard, and they will be recognized and compensated for their stories and their play on the court, on and off the court. And this league ensures that they get a college education, which is the best of all worlds, is that they get compensated, they get their voices heard, and on top of that, they walk away with a great education. So now they go off and they are successful in life, and they're successful for generations to come, and that's what we've been missing. And this, you know, excites me. So, you know, it's not pure capitalism, but it's a pure everything. This is about education, capitalism, and a community.
Well, Dave, I want to talk to you about the education part, because the last time we talked about this, one point that you'd made that I thought was interesting was talking about, like, there would be, you know, a college education, but also, like, learning trades and things like that were also possibilities. Is that still a part of the plan that you guys have?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the shortfalls in the college system right now is, you know, sometimes you try to fit, you know, a round peg into a square hole, if you will. And we want to meet these athletes where they are, where their background has led them. And we understand that not everybody has access to the right resources as youngins. And there are a lot of guys always use this analogy, but, you know, historically, the top player out of New York City doesn't go to college. And historically, the top player out of Detroit and Philly, they don't go to school because there's no opportunity that quite fits them. And so for us, we want to educate you. And education doesn't necessarily mean going into the halls and walls of a four-year university and having to figure out a way to structure yourself to be successful in that. Education means learning, and learning something that can add value to you as a person. And so, you know, again, I've used this example in the past, but if you simply want to learn how to cut hair, right? I had a coach tell me years ago, like, if you could cut hair, you always have a job because brothers always need a haircut. And so, you know, again, if you want to learn a trade in terms of being an electrician or understanding the ins and outs of construction, that's something that we can put in front of you, but we want to meet you where you are. And then ultimately, if you're in sport, if you're an athlete, we want you to know how to answer questions in the media. We want you to know how to represent yourself, represent your family the right way. We want you to know the basics of financial literacy. We want you to be able to express yourself and understand what's going on in the world around you and be able to be a voice and a benefit in that world.
And I think that's an important distinction you make about education, because I think a lot of what goes on with big time college sports is they're selling a narrative of what education is, knowing that a lot of the players they have are simply through no fault of their own and not in a position to really take advantage of those things. And it becomes interesting because the solution that people wind up with is, well, why don't you just let them major in basketball? What? Right? Like, I'm just imagining going to a job interview. So what did you major in? Basketball, man. Like, you know, I know the ins and outs of every scheme. Like, no, you're already majoring in basketball, right?
That's a good point you made, because, again, this is about adding value to these young people. And even in the sport, right, learning about what it takes to be a statistician, maybe learning, you know, what it takes to operate and run a basketball team. Those are some of the things that we, you know, while I was in the NBA, they started to introduce to guys. But those are some of the things that we value, right? Because ultimately, right now, a college athlete is not necessarily choosing his own educational path. His educational path is situated around his availability for practice, for workouts, and for games. And so if you choose something like finance in college as a big-time college athlete, chances are you can't do it if it interrupts with practice, if it interrupts with workouts, if it interrupts with your game schedule. So you're sort of put into a box and limited, you know, to what you can study while you're actually in school. And I think that's what, you know, you were sort of hinting to with your point.
Right. Now, how has this gone when you've talked to players about this?
You know, we've got an inbox full of guys that are looking, you know, for this opportunity. I think you've seen in the last few years, guys making alternative choices about this window after high school and before their professional career. And so, you know, we are another viable option. That's what we always have sort of centered ourselves around being. Players themselves and families themselves see us as something that is a benefit to them. You know, like I said, we center the athlete. We want to make sure that the athlete is at the center, and then compensation is a big part of this journey for them. And, you know, we don't want to get into this back and forth. And we've had this, you know, a few conversations about this, because obviously basketball is a sport dominated by predominantly Black athletes. And so when it comes to Black athletes, all of a sudden they wouldn't know how to be responsible with money or getting paid. And that's a conversation that we've had to diffuse, because in other sports, particularly, you know, in some other, maybe tennis and soccer and international basketball, athletes are paid, you know, quite young. But this conversation comes up with responsibility and whether or not, you know, Black athletes could handle the responsibility of being paid. So we reject that. We think that families properly educated, properly informed, working with us, an organization that is not out to try to take advantage, but to try to be a resource and a benefit to these families, that this is something that can definitely work. That's something that will work to the benefit of the players and those families.
And also, nobody has ever made you take a test to get money to determine if you would use it reasonably or not, right? Like, they when you win the lottery, they just give you the check.
Right. Absolutely.
So in terms of players, is this league seeking to get the guys that are looking to go to the NBA as quickly as possible, that top tier level of player? Like, who are you guys looking for as the guys to fill out the rosters in this league?
Yeah, so, you know, what we want to do is we want to have, you know, good basketball. And so that's going to take a variety of talents. You know, obviously, we're going to go after some of the best and brightest, those who feel like we're the right fit. But ultimately, you know, you've got a transfer portal full of guys that's, you know, insane right now. You know, there's another aspect of this, like I talked about, guys who typically aren't recruited because of grades, because of environment, because of mistakes that they've made in the past. You know, we want to be an opportunity for those guys as well. You know, we're going to have a variety of stories, a variety of athletes. You know, mainly we want guys that are focused on doing the right thing and preparing themselves to take another step in their basketball journey. And everybody's not going to be a one and done guy. It took me 4 years to get where I needed to go. It takes some guys 3 years. It takes some guys 5 years. You know, our program is a 5-year program. So we're going to have a variety of guys. We'll be a spot where players who are in the transfer portal will be able to look at us and say, you know what, I need to take that step. And, you know, traditional college basketball hasn't worked for me. I'm going to take this step. So we're going to have a variety of guys, guys who want to play, guys who want to compete, guys who ultimately want to situate themselves in a basketball space that's going to help them get better and improve as people and players.
Yeah, I think that timeline part is important, because as we see so many guys who go straight to the NBA, we forget that there's still a lot of guys where, like, what your journey is. Like Seth Curry, I think, is a great example of this, right? He was in college for 5 years, and then it took a couple more years for him to get there. And he's not his brother, but he's still like a 43-44% three-point shooter and has found his way in the NBA. But if we had made a definitive decision when he was 21, then we would have just cast him off.
Right. Absolutely. That's the landscape, I think, that's more common now than a guy that's 19, ready to jump into the league and go right away. And even as we see with the Ignite situation, you have some guys that they're going to have to take another step before they get to their NBA journey or their NBA dream. So, you know, we're a viable option for guys who want to continue to play, want to take that professional step, but still need an opportunity to, you know, smooth out some of the edges.
Now, one thing that's interesting is that we talk about this as a college league, but when you go to the website and you look at the teams, they are centered around cities. And I encourage people to go to thepclleague.com to go check out the website. Those look like pro uniforms. Like, they, you know, like this looks like a first-class operation in that way. So how does this work with the schools, but a team being like the Baltimore Phoenix, for example?
Well, again, our athletes would just be regular students, right? If you think about, you know, there are students that go to school now, but they work in the summer or work on the side. our athletes would be the same way. Obviously, our, you know, our season offsets their academic calendar, so they wouldn't have the pressure of performing in the classroom and performing on the court at the same time. You know, the way that we have situated it is that, you know, we're not tied to one specific educational institution. You know, each athlete is going to have his or her chance, you know, eventually to make the choice about what educational path they want to take that specifically suits them. And it's not, hey, come to this campus, take these classes, and that's it. We want to open up the educational opportunities for these athletes.
And right now it's in Baltimore, D.C., and Charlotte. Those are the three cities we're looking at now, right?
We have those brands launched, but we're initially going to launch in the DMV area, situated in the PG County area. We found some venues that we're going to utilize to start more so of a bubble-like environment to give ourselves a good starting foundation, but to also give our players the best possible chance to get their feet under them as we begin this journey.
Now, has doing this involved any interactions or discussions with the NCAA at all? As I know that you are not attached to them, but it seems like your paths would cross in the course of you doing this.
Yeah, we've had some discussions, you know, more so fishing expeditions, trying to figure out where we are, what we're actually doing. But we've been pretty public about, you know, our intention to move forward, to compensate athletes, to create a system that's fair and equitable for the athlete and doesn't put institutions and tradition over benefit of the players.
Right. Now, Andre, I want to ask you a bit more about the details of the media deal that go along with it, because you mentioned that there would be television and digital. So how will people be able to access this league?
Yeah. So Next Level is a cable linear channel. And we're the first African-American-owned multi-sport urban content platform in the country. And you can find us on a Verizon Fios. You can find us at AT&T Uverse and many of your favorite cable providers. Look, make no mistake about it. We are a global platform. We are in over 100 million homes globally. We are in over 30 million homes here in the United States. We have five continents, and it's growing. We plan to put the PCL on prime time for us so that they can be elevated and viewed at the times that they should be. And so I think that if you want to find us on our website, we put where you can find us, which is nlse.com. And on our digital side, we are streaming on YouTube, Zumo, and all those under the brand of our digital partner For the Fan, or known as FTF. And so it's a place that the overall system will be one where you can find the games all the time. And we plan to make sure that we highlight not just the live action, but we're going to also do a lot of shoulder programming as well, where we will make that available, because we want more than just the highlights of the games to be seen. We want the stories of the players to be seen.
Yeah. So what kind of shoulder programming are you talking about there? For people who don't understand the idea of shoulder programming, like at ESPN, for example, we play NFL games, but we also play NFL live, right? Like things that surround the games that are being broadcast.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of innovative content like that. We are looking at getting the stories out from some of the players who opt into the league. And it will look different for each of the players. It won't be the same, but there's stories that need to be told will be told. And we plan to do it in a way where we look at everything from a 30 for 30-like situation across to, hey, here's the history of. We plan to highlight some of the kids that have gone through some really tough times to get to where they've gotten to, and to be celebrated for it and not demonized for it. And that's one thing I've seen in the media, that when kids have hard lives and hard come ups, they become a victim or demonized by society. And we're looking to shift that narrative. In fact, we're looking at highlighting the success of overcoming such large obstacles.
All right. Now, Dave, I want to ask you one last thing about this is, how do you build the infrastructure to make these guys better basketball players?
Oh, well, we're in the process. You know, we've been interviewing and working with, you know, some coaches, former NBA guys, former NBA coaches, former college coaches. We're looking at filling out, each staff will have at least one or two former NBA players on it. You know, we're going to be a place where, you know, guys who hadn't necessarily gotten opportunities before get opportunities. You know, we also are going to use and utilize the basketball world itself. You know, the basketball space is a very, very competitive space. It's a very tough space to crack. And we are another opportunity, another outlet for basketball minds. So that'll be the first thing. The second thing is to our game is going to be an NBA game. You know, we'll have NBA rules, NBA floor, NBA shot clock. You know, I'm going to stay away from the decisions around the officials. let somebody else handle that. But for the most part, we're going to create a professional environment. You know, we're not going to make the guys conform to sort of a college style system and then have, you know, guys do are right now having to basically figure out in 4 months how to transform from being a college player to an NBA player. We're going to be very NBA friendly for our guys. And then, you know, basketball wise, just on the court, you know, just, you know, the simple stuff is what we're going to really emphasize in terms of NBA spacing, the timing, you know, obviously being in great shape, you know, the concentration and the focus that it takes, you know, to be an NBA caliber athlete and to always be in sort of, you know, the best shape of your life, which is something that I learned, you know, as an NBA player and in a way to maintain yourself throughout your career is always to be in shape. You never have those moments where you're down. So being able to introduce, you know, those concepts to players and then just the seriousness and the professionalism, you know, that it takes to get there. And that's why I think it's important. You know, former NBA guys, there are tons of NBA guys sitting around on the golf course every day. You know, again, it's been a journey trying to get some of those guys to understand, like, I don't want you working, you know, too hard, because I understand guys want to enjoy retirement, but your voice is needed. You know, your expertise is definitely needed and appreciated. And so we've created a space for those guys in particular to make sure that they're able to pass on the knowledge that, you know, otherwise if they're not in coaching, you know, where does that information go? It's just sitting inside their head. So, you know, we've made it very clear, and the guys I've spoken to have been, you know, willing, and there are tons of players out there that necessarily don't want to coach, but do want to have an impact on the next generation of players. And we feel like we're a platform, you know, that can do that.
I'm just telling you right now, if you decide that you want to stay in shape by becoming a referee yourself, I will watch. if we get David West out here making the calls, like, I'm ready for the first time you call a tech.
Yeah, right. That's a good one.
All right, that is David West and Andre Gudger. Now, Andre, tell the people the name of your company again, please. I want to make sure we get that right.
Next Level Sports and Entertainment.
All right, and that's David West, the COO of the Professional Collegiate League. Check them out at thepcleague.com. They have come up with a model to compensate college athletes and to get them on the court, a media deal to go along with it. I encourage everybody to check it out, get as much information as you possibly can on it. And I thank you guys so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassain and Tony Collette, you'd handle everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You'll give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.